This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And you are listening to 107.7 FM, WTPL FM. We are also streaming live on the World Wide Web all around the world on WTPLFM.com. And, and another thing that I want to announce is our new website is up and running and live. So you can check us out on our brand new website, foodforthoughtnh.com. And we'd also love for you to like us on Facebook as well. So
did you have to throw the NH on there because Food for Thought was taken already?
Correct.
Boy, everything good is taken, right?
I know. But, you know, Food for Thought NH.
Oh, yeah, that works.
Too bad.
No.
You know? And not too long.
That'll pop up if people are doing a search.
Exactly.
Food for Thought. They'll see that one. So
exactly.
They'll see the other one is probably some French philosopher somewhere, you know, who's eating croissants and bonbons in Paris. Oh, this is Food for Thought, monsieur.
Oh, boy.
Somebody on the West Side's got Food for Thought. I don't know.
There's a couple of them that they're like, yeah, food blogs or.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't want to make a big offer and come in with like 10 grand to buy that one?
Nah. Just foodforthoughtnhitworks.com.
Yeah, it's a nice looking site. And again, what I love, and I haven't seen too many radio show websites that you can actually go back for a long time and listen to entire blocks of programming.
Yes. Very cool.
So there you go. Very nice. And I haven't seen you since Friday.
I know. It feels like we haven't been here for like so long.
No.
One day makes a huge difference.
So how was the Made in New Hampshire Triad and Biad Expo? Because Red Arrow was there and you spent a lot of time there.
I did. Daryl and I spent most of the weekend there. And, you know, it was a great turnout. It was the first time the diner has been involved. I've been there as a, you know, as a
customer
guest, spectator, or whatever. It was a great, great time. I mean, tons of different, you know, jewelry designers and glass people and earring people and just a ton of stuff. So it was cool.
If you can think of it, you'll see it at the Made in New Hampshire Expo.
Definitely.
I mean, we bought dog leashes there and, you know, this soap, this woman's got we've become a big fan of, I can't think of the name of it.
Is it the beer soap?
No, it's not the beer soap. It's over on South River Road in Bedford, just a little bit south of up 293. And it's really great rosemary smell to it. And
is it Just Naturals, store?
I think so.
I don't think she was there because I know her.
That's how we, She always
maybe
has
she
been
was.
In
you know,
past.
She could have been, I guess. I did meet her. I met her at an event at Lavelle Winery when Marianne Esposito was there. She was sitting at our table, and I met her. I guess I could have probably walked by it.
Have you been in the store?
I have.
It's wonderful.
It is. It's amazing.
Barb, about every couple months, gives me a shopping list. I have a dentist who's right next door, so when I go for the appointment, we try to time it, and I go get some soaps and concentrates and the pump bottles and the whole deal. And, yeah, it's more than buying stuff off the rack at Shaw's, but it smells good. You know, it's not
it's
bad for the
natural.
Pets or the kids.
That's right. Yeah.
So, and if you don't go nuts with it, it'll last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's really good. So it's those kind of events and things that you find at the Made in New Hampshire Expo that is so much fun.
Yes,
and food
unique
too.
And food. There wasn't a whole. I mean, the only people that were selling food for people to actually eat was Common Man and Red Arrow.
Just then, the two of you?
Yeah. Selling
wow.
food to eat.
Typically,
yes.
There's a few more than that.
I mean, you know, the people that are the only one other one that I can think of. You know, I mean, and they had samplings was the Whoopie Pie people.
Oh, okay.
You know, you could buy their Whoopie Pies. And then, you know, other things were like, you know, taste barbecue sauce and then buy a jar of it and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, our friends who were here with us last week were there.
Oh, yes. Should have seen their
They had a little shack, right?
Uh-huh. It was amazing. It was, they had a great, and they had a really good turnout. They were very happy. So I'm glad that they were.
Nice guys.
Yes.
You took pictures of business cards of food places so we could track them down. So we're starting to line up some of the people that you met at the Made in New Hampshire Expo because they deserve a little publicity.
That's right.
They're working hard to create a homegrown New Hampshire business, and if we can help, that's part of what we're here for. So don't ever feel like you're bugging us if you have an idea or you have a business that is somewhat food related. to be in touch with us because you know, we love to have guests that, are doing things like that.
Yeah, we definitely do. You can contact us right through our website.
That's very true. And you have been, I must say, you've been living out of a jar the last week or so with different kinds of foods. What on earth is in your jar today?
I know. It's my mason jar. And, you know, I'm like falling in love with these. I made, I was busy yesterday getting Daryl's and mine lunches ready for the week. And this one is a noodle soup in a jar. Now, when I should have showed it to you before I put the water in, but you pretty much you layer cooked noodles on the bottom, and then the mixture it's like an Asian soup. So the mixture of it was tom yum paste, miso paste, soy sauce, and a little bit of bouillon. You mix that all together, and then you take like a good sized tablespoon of it and plop that on top of the cooled noodles at the bottom of your jar, and then some rotisserie chicken, put in about, you know, a couple ounces of chicken on top of that, and then Asian vegetables, whatever you want to throw in there. I threw some bean sprouts in and some Chinese broccoli, and then it says when you're at the top to just put a couple sprinkles of coriander and then close it up tight. So I made like three or four of them. And today when I went to have it just a little bit ago, you pour boiling water in until the top starts floating, and then close it back up tight for about 5 or 8 minutes so it steeps, you know, and gets it all nice and hot. And it's funny because it said in the recipe, it said you'll start to see the, you know, the broth turning red because it's kind of like, you know, churning and, you know,
right.
It's pretty cool. And it is delicious. Oh, and hot sauce, too, in that little mix.
Now, you've been sweating over there.
I probably put a little too much mano fuel in it.
Yeah. But I mean, people
it's
have
delicious.
Different tolerances. I mean,
I love it.
I love hot. And even if I sweat, I don't care.
Me too.
But as long as it's good hot. Yeah, it really is.
I'm going to bring you one in tomorrow.
I can't wait. So you've done salads last week and now you've moved on to soups.
Yeah, I'm trying the soup. And then I had the ingredients to make. I made Daryl a couple of buffalo chicken salads in a mason jar. I put a little yogurt blue cheese dressing because it's less fat. On the bottom, cherry tomatoes, some cooked chicken, black olives, some chopped carrots, romaine, and close it up. That's it.
For people that work and want to prepare.
Oh, and hot sauce.
And hot sauce, of course.
Because it's buffalo, yes.
This is a great concept to go to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do all the work. I mean, you can make a batch of soup and then pour it into your jars and put it in the fridge. And then when it's time, as you said, add the boiling water, let it steep for 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you've got what looks to be a pretty healthy lunch. I mean, I see it's kind of a clear broth, so I know there's not a lot of fat in it.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. It's all. I mean, you know, the noodles probably aren't the best thing, but you know, I mean.
Well, I see bean sprouts, which are not my favorite thing, but I will have them because you made it with love. But I can't tell the bean sprouts from the noodles from over here.
You really can't. And I didn't put a whole lot of bean sprouts in because it wasn't enough room.
Yeah.
You know, and it actually called for using the bigger jars, but I just think that's too much.
I do too, because if you dump that out in a bowl, it's going to
gonna
fill it up. And soup is filling.
Yes,
it
is.
Really is.
Yep.
Here's the question. Okay, you've experimented with salad. And soup in a jar. Mm-hmm. What about tacos in a jar?
There's a Mexican one I want to do.
Is there really?
There is.
I was joking. Seriously?
No, I'm serious. There's Mexican ones, which look really interesting.
Well, that's good.
I'll be experimenting.
I hope you do, because tacos will be our topic in just a couple of moments. The annual Hippo de Mayo Taco Challenge, which has turned out to be the most attended downtown, I guess you'd call it street fair event.
Yeah.
It's going to have its fifth annual, and we're going to talk to Amy Diaz, the executive editor of the Hippo newspaper /magazine, in a couple of moments. And I've not attended one of those yet.
You haven't?
Part of the problem is when you get up so doggone early, you tend not to always go to those things.
You're excused.
Yeah.
But now you're not.
There is no excuse, because I know we've kind of talked about maybe a
broadcasting live,
which I think we should, because you've been to it. You see how people
tons
line up.
Of people. Even if we do it right outside here.
As we should, yeah.
Exactly. It'd be really awesome. It would be awesome.
So we're doing the taco thing. So we'll talk with Amy. A couple days ago, Friday, Carol and I chatted with Dave Salvis, who ran the Boston Marathon yesterday.
So
and
exciting.
He did finish. But he's got a few aches and pains to talk about and some experiences to share. So we're going to catch up with him a little later on in the hour. And we have some in-studio entertainment. Ken Kale of Kale & Company isn't the only one who brings music from radio. That's what I love about this kind of show. We can do what we want.
Yeah, that's cool.
So the Palace Theater will send over three of their performers and do a couple numbers from Les Mis, which opens on May 1st.
Yeah.
So we have pretty full show. June will join us.
June will be here for Meatless Mondays, and then Nikki from Make-A-Wish, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. So we have everything all stacked up and ready to go. I assume we have a food holiday to share?
We do have a food holiday. It's National Chocolate-Covered Cashews Day. Right?
Those are two of my favorite things.
Yikes. No kidding. Cashews.
Cashews are just the best.
They are.
You get those the really big ones with just a little, I mean, they have to have salt. I can't eat them raw.
A little bit. Yep. I mean, when you go to Van Otis and they're still warm.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Yikes. Crazy.
And I've only had them coated with chocolate a couple times. And as much as I love the two, I think I'm going to go with the cashews without the chocolate on it because they're so good to begin with.
It's true.
And at $11 a pound, why do I want to add even more to the mix here?
Right. It's true. Just one thing before we go to break, and I've been trying to bring this up we've just had so much to talk about, but I want to put this in. Do you remember when Dream Dinners was here?
I sure do.
And she left these napkins.
Yes.
Do you remember that she left? Did you read these napkins?
I did not read the napkins. No.
It's really a cool thing. You open it up and there's just all kinds of, how did your parents meet and fall in love?
Oh, icebreakers.
You know, yeah. What would you do if you were invisible for a day? What's the hardest thing you've ever done? I'm going to read one more, and then I'm going to read the one that is for you.
Okay.
What would you do for fun if you had to give up TV and electronics? Oh, that's interesting.
Wow.
That's not the one for you, though. This is when I saw this, I'm like,
oh, really?
Oh, my goodness. How appropriate for Mike. Which of your five senses would you be saddest to lose?
Well, and the reason you, of course, thought of that is I've had hearing issues for about 2 weeks, which I'm happy to report the hearing situation is improving. One ear is doing really good. The other one is a little bit slower. And so I actually had almost no hearing for several days until one ear started to improve a little bit. And so that was my sampling of what would it be like without being able to hear. And it wasn't very good. It's confusing. And obviously that would mean no music. If I have a little hearing, I can still talk because these headphones we wear are like giant
hearing aids.
Hearing aids, yeah. I walk up and down Elm Street, people are looking at me like, who is this loser? So, but then I thought, because I thought about that, Carol, since, I did lose a good part of my hearing for several days. I was thinking, what about taste?
Ooh.
See, I could almost go with that because with food, we eat with our eyes. We go with texture. Clearly, taste rules. But if I had to lose one, I'm thinking, even though it's not good for a guy who does a food show, maybe my taste. Definitely not hearing.
Wait, so that would be the saddest one to lose.
That would be the one I would be most willing to give up. The saddest one, I would have to say, is vision.
Yeah, definitely.
When you've had your sight your entire life and it's been pretty good, then just learning everything all over again.
Did you see the two marathon runners that ran in it blind?
I did not.
Yes, it was on Facebook yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, blind.
Pretty phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
Well, there's lots of stories to tell
about
that.
And then the 5 o'clock guy that came in at 5 o'clock this morning.
Yes.
Muscular dystrophy. He was the last one to arrive this morning at like 5:10 or something.
Yeah, he started at like 8 o'clock yesterday morning, ran overnight, and finally made it.
Unbelievable.
Some great stories.
It's amazing. It is. Lots of great stories. So we'll be talking to Dave. I can't wait.
Yes.
So, okay. I think we're going to go on a short break. You're listening to 107.7 The Pulse, and we'll be right back for a short break.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And it's a beautiful day today. And Mike, you're going to read off some sponsors?
Yeah, let's thank some of the folks that make the broadcast possible every day on The Pulse 107.7. Fallon's Furniture, they are the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company. So if you ever find yourself being a guest in the Beacon Building here on Elm Street in Manchester, you will enjoy the Fallon's Furniture they've put here. And New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. Well, it's almost here. I do believe it's the biggest street event now, as of the last year or two. It is called Hippo de Mayo Taco Challenge. This is only its fifth year, so they've done four, and already it is almost out of control. It is amazing, and one of the people behind it, stirring the big pot with the meat and the sauce and everything else, is the executive editor of The Hippo, Amy Diaz. Hello, Amy. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So how hands-on is this for you? Because I know you're very responsible. You got everything going on with the newspaper, so you must delegate some of the logistics that are going to happen on May the 7th from 4 to 9.
Well, personally, for me, it has mostly been about eating. I have a very serious responsibility of eating the tacos, and I take that really seriously. I really want to do my best at that. You know, actually, I've been lucky enough the past 2 years I've been able to be a judge, which is totally awesome because you get to try all of the tacos. Awesome and dangerous.
Yeah, I guess.
Because at first, you're like, oh, these are delicious, and I want to eat all of it, and you realize very quickly you can't do that or you would die. Because there are, you know, I think about 40 restaurants involved. But I get to try all these different things. And what's really cool about this event is that a taco is one of those things that everyone can put their twist on. So whatever kind of restaurant it is, they can kind of put, you know, their little twist on it. Some places are much more traditionally kind of what you think of when you think of tacos. Some, you know, you get your fish tacos. We had like Greek tacos in the past. There are a lot of really fantastic dessert tacos. In fact, that might be my biggest piece of advice to people: go to the dessert tacos first, because those are always awesome, and I think they always, you know, those are some of the first to go.
So how is it that you captured lightning in a bottle with this event? Because, you know, these things can be hard to launch, yet there's never been any looking back. Over 15,000 people by your estimate last year, and if the weather's good, maybe more this year. So, and it's all self-contained pretty much up and down Elm Street for a couple blocks, right?
Yes. It's all the participating restaurants. It's all pretty much walkable. I think this is one of those things. It's just all the details kind of really work for people. It's tacos, which are food that, you know, it's a food that most people like. There's, you know, again, even if you don't like fish tacos, there's lots of beef tacos where there's kind of something for everyone. They're $2 each, so it's not a huge expense. You're not buying one big Frankie ticket. And you get to be outside. And I think, especially this year, just the thought of being able to walk around outside in the fresh open air and, you know, eat some tacos outside in the springtime, That really brings people in after the hard winter. You need tacos and outdoor.
And excuse me. And people don't need to get tickets ahead of time, correct, Amy? They would just show up at the participating restaurant and just purchase the taco, correct?
Exactly. And so this year we're doing something. We have this app called Hippo Scout. It's something we just recently launched. And for the taco tour, usually it gives you all of our listings. If you want to find out events going on this weekend or tonight or whatever, you can download it on your phone. You can go to hippofscout.com online. For the taco tour, we're also going to have all of the places listed and their tacos. So when you get downtown, you go to Hippo Scout, you can figure out, you know, who's still got tacos, kind of where you want to go, kind of plan out your route. And we'll also have things in the paper about it. So you can really kind of figure out, like, where do I want to go? You don't have to buy anything in advance or, you know, doing tickets in advance. You just show up with money to buy tacos, and I would say loose pants would also be my comfortable shoes loose. And loose pants.
That's right.
Well, I think the key is just to pace yourself, because I've been to a Taste of Downtown many times, and after about 10 samples, I've had it. Maybe I'm just a lightweight or whatever, but
it's deceptive, especially tacos, because you get one and you think, oh, this is just a little taco. And you eat it and you have another one, and really, if I like the third or fourth taco, it's tough to keep going. You bring some friends, you know, you split some tacos so you get to taste a lot of different things. Like I said, loose pants. Loose pants are key.
And what is the date of the taco tour, Amy?
So this is going to be Thursday, May 7th, and it's from 4 to 9 in downtown Manchester. Just come find a parking spot and walk around downtown Manchester. You'll again in the paper or on Hippo Scout, you'll be able to figure out who is selling the tacos, You know, you can kind of get in line for maybe some of your favorite restaurants or the tacos that sound most interesting first. And I would say don't discount those dessert tacos. Those are always delicious. So lots of fun, you know, choices for everyone.
Now, is there going to be people's voting or anything like that? Or is it just you guys as judges? How does that work?
People's choice.
Well, in years past, there has been, and I'm pretty sure this is how we're doing it this year, there's a people's choice option, and I think that's usually by text. And then there is the judges also choose someone who's the winner, and which is a difficult decision to make.
It must be.
So many delicious tacos.
And like you said, everybody puts their own unique twist on it. And, you know, I've walked around quite a few, you know, times, and they do. They're just like creative. And, you know, I'm thinking of Ben and Jerry's. They always do that, you know, like an ice cream taco. It's like so good. It's really, really good.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I mean, so many different. You know, I'm looking at some of the early kind of lists right now. You have kind of a Tex-Mex carne asada taco, very kind of standard braised pork chicken taco. But then there's also a gyro taco that I see that someone is doing, some fish tacos, a sloppy joe taco, a falafel taco. So kind of, you know, all different kinds of tacos and different kinds of flavors. So it's not just, you know, 40 different takes on the Mexican taco, standard traditional Mexican taco, kind of everything you can think of that you can fit in a taco shell.
Hippo de Mayo Taco Challenge coming up May 7th from 4 till 9, downtown Manchester. Executive editor is Amy Diaz from the Hippo joining us right now. All right, so with any kind of taco, I have to pair it with a margarita. Am I able to get an adult beverage along the way?
Yes, I think, you know, once you decide that maybe you want to sit for a while, I think that there'll be places definitely serving. Usually I've noticed in years past, and again, this is kind of based on the weather, but I've noticed that this is one of those nights when you definitely see everybody's got their outdoor seating out. You know, everyone who does outdoor seating is out and people are sitting down. So, you know, I actually think that's a great plan. You come, you try a few tacos, and then you find the place to sit down, maybe have a little more food if you've still got room in you, and then, you know, enjoy a couple of beverages.
But exactly. But you can't carry a beverage around like Las Vegas, right? Even though Vegas.
We're Manch Vegas, not Las
Yes.
Vegas.
have you ever seen those yard long margaritas on the Strip in Las Vegas?
Oh yes, with all the different crazy cups that people have, and yes.
Yeah, we need to get some. We need to get to the alderman here at City Hall and see if we can pass that for like a one night only permission to do that. To add some fun to it.
I think we need to bring that up with the mayor on Thursday when we're having lunch with the mayor. There you go. He's going to be on the show.
We are calling in Vegas. It would fit.
I'm going to mention that to him.
Well, you know, I don't think it's a name we've really earned until we do something like that and make it more like Las Vegas. This Manch Vegas thing, I love it, but it ain't making it. We need to kind of change things a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And then the other thing I love about Las Vegas is you can get pie at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
So if we could... We could organize that just once in a while, pie 2 in the morning.
I know,
that
and you
would
know,
be great too.
How are you feeling about that? Well, the closing, but they are going to be reopening of the Golden Bowl because I know that's one of your and Jody's good favorite places to go.
That is one of our favorite places, and you know, I hope that we kind of continue to see what I think has always been fun about downtown Manchester, in particular when it comes to restaurants, which is a great diversity of kinds of restaurants. You know, you
yes.
don't just have three of the same sort of things or three, you know, American bistros. It's a lot of different kinds of food. And even as people close and new people move in, there's always different stuff coming in. I love that.
That's true.
Yeah, a lot of diversity, which is nice. Excuse me, international flavors. So last year, by your estimate, 15,000 to 17,000 people. I mean, it's really tough to really get an accurate headcount on that. But this is the world's largest taco tour. Has anybody really tried to approach that elsewhere?
You know, we don't know. And at this point, our feelings sort of prove that there's someplace larger.
Yeah,
there you go.
Until we hear differently, we are the world's largest taco tour.
There you go. Until somebody
yeah.
argues that.
Yeah, because, yeah. you know, when you're out and about and talking to people and say, well, when you think of taco tours, you always think of New Hampshire, of course.
You always think of Manchester.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying to put Manchester, New Hampshire on the map for tacos.
There you go.
Well, you have indeed. And it all gets underway at 4 o'clock. And again, we should point out to people that there is no admission. The tacos are $2 each, no matter which vendor or restaurant you buy from. And is there some way that some of this money finds its way to a charity? For some reason, I thought I heard
yes,
that. So I'm sorry for bringing it up if that's not the case.
You know, yes. And I'll be honest, I don't know exactly how it's going to work this year. But in years past, there's definitely, you know, some of the winners, some of the picks, they get money that goes to a charity of their choice. So, you know, it really is. It is sort of like downtown spirit and then also just kind of helping out locally and, you know, really enjoying. It's a community event. It's not just about eating delicious tacos, although that is mostly what it's about. But it's also about, you know, celebrating the community.
Right.
All right. So you mentioned earlier, just kind of throwing it away, I'll just find a place to park, which, of course, is not going to be easy. Are there any shuttle buses or any satellite or any maps that you'll be putting on your website or in the Hippo for folks to find that maybe aren't familiar with downtown?
No, I'm not sure if there are maps that necessarily designate parking that run with either, you know, either in the paper or online. I will say that because it starts at 4, and especially if you get there like around 4 or 5, some of the places where parking may be, the parking restrictions only last until 5, you know, you've got a couple more options. And then I would also, you know, do plan to walk a little bit, but if you can park a little bit further out and then walk in, that's always a good way to go. You know, there are options if you hunt for them, maybe sort of scope out in advance where you think you want to park.
And you know what? I'll bring it up with the mayor again on Thursday.
Well, we're going to put a lot on his plate, aren't we? Poor
special
guy.
Parking for the tacos.
Mayor's there coming here go. To have lunch and have some fun with us, and we're going to load him up with things he needs to change about the city a little bit.
There you go.
5 at 2 a.m. Margaritas on Elm Street.
Well, you know, you can always get pie at 2 a.m. at the Red Arrow over
right.
on
Lowell's.
True. Oh, that's true. That's right.
So it's right there. Well, anything else, Carol, from your...
I don't think so. I think we covered everything. Hippo de Mayo Taco Challenge, May 7th from 4 to 9. And if you haven't come, you need to come. It's quite an event. It's a great event. And, you know, just one thing that I just want to point out, you know, like as being the restaurants, because I know the first year that you did it, each restaurant picks their own charity. So, you know, you really, when you have your customers coming in to get tacos and the line is like huge, usually it's always, I mean, there's constant line, but you know, really for us, you know, we're always trying to get people to vote for us so that we can get that money to give to our charity. So it's really fun. It's, you know, and it gets the people really into it and, you know, and the employees are into it. Everybody's into it. Like you said, Amy, it's like a community event. It's fun. Everybody gets into it. It's all for a good cause.
It really is. And, you know, you can see some of the details and some pictures from previous year's taco tours at hippodemayo.com. And then, again, on the day, at hipposcout.com, or you can download the Hippo Scout app from your app store, and that'll give you all the sort of taco details. That'll keep you up to the minute, kind of, who's got tacos and
cool.
who's out.
Is this rain or shine, or is there a rain date picked?
Oh, this is absolutely rain or shine. And, you know, honestly, secret tip, if it does rain, bring an umbrella, and that might, you know, thin the crowd
right.
just a little bit.
Suck
honestly,
it up.
That hasn't worked in past years. People still show up. People will
they
always
do.
Show up for tacos.
Well, you're onto something big, and we hope you have as big or bigger a success as you have in the past 4. Amy Diaz, executive editor of The Hippo, talking about the Hippo de Mayo Taco Challenge, May 7th from 4 until 9. Check the paper or their website to get a little more information. Amy, good to hear from you. Good to talk with you. It's been a while, and we hope to have you back for some reason or other in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, and you guys have to come on down for some tacos.
Oh, yes,
oh,
definitely.
Yeah, that's a given.
Thank you, Amy.
Have
Thanks.
A good day. See you later. All right. I wonder if David Salvas was loading up on tacos before the marathon.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think that counts as carbo loading, does it?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But I think we need to go on a break.
Let's do it.
We need to go on a short break. And you're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And you are listening to 107.7 WTPL. And we have on the line right now, I can't believe he's taking the time to call us. I can't wait to find out how he's doing. Let's welcome back Dave Salvas. He finished his 90th marathon yesterday. And welcome back to Food for Thought, Dave.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Good to hear that you did all right. I was checking your Facebook page just to kind of keep up with how things went, because I didn't stalk you like Carol did during the actual.
I did.
But I did notice that that you said that you could not keep warm. Now, that's very understandable because it was a wet, dreary, kind of dank day. Is that the reason, or was it just too cold to run?
It wasn't too cold to run. It was just, I think, the moisture and the wind. The wind was very strong at some point. The first time ever I actually ran with a poncho, and out of all the marathons I've done, and I've run in some pretty bad weather before, but yesterday I just ran with a poncho till about 11, and then I took it off, and I thought of tossing it. I said, I'll just hold it a while. By mile 17, I needed it again, and my hands were just like freezing ice cold. My shoes were soaking wet. My feet were cold. I just couldn't get warm.
Oh, my goodness. Now, when you just said when you hit mile 17, I mean, what does that feel like to hit mile 17, knowing you still have 18, 19, 20, 9 miles.
9 miles left, yeah.
That must be an unbelievable feeling. I mean,
Well, it was a good feeling in the fact that I was done the tallest, the biggest hill in the whole course. So I said, you know, the rest is just kind of little rollers, including Heartbreak Hill. It's just little rolling hills. And then once you get to the top of Heartbreak Hill, it's kind of downhill the rest of the way. But that was when the wind picked up and the rain really started coming down. So it was a little bit of work.
Was it the worst weather conditions for you in your 20 Boston marathons?
In my 20 Bostons, yes. Yeah, it was the worst one I've done. Last year was pretty tough. It took me a little longer last year than this year, but that was because of the heat. I don't do well in heat at all. So, but apparently now I don't do well in cold either. So.
Oh, gosh.
I was thinking about you, and then we mentioned Johnny Kelly the other day. How many Boston marathons did Johnny Kelly run? Do we know?
Oh, God. It's in the high 50s. I remember one year standing on a shamrock they had with 58 with his number on it. It's high 50s, low 60s. I can find out, but it was a lot.
He was into his 80s, right, before he finally hung up his shoes. He did pass away not that long ago, correct?
Not that long ago, correct. He was a fantastic artist, too. He used to do a lot of besides paintings that he sold.
Did you ever rub shoulders with some of the big names, Bill Rogers? Or
I have. You know? I've got the. I was lucky enough to carry the Olympic torches that came through New Hampshire in '96 for the Atlanta Olympics, and I got to meet Bill Rogers and Joan Benoit. And I've got my picture with them because they carried the torch also with our torches, and had them autograph it. Frank Shorter, the only male Olympian to win a gold medal in '72 in Munich in the marathon. I've got pictures with him. I've met Johnny Kelly a number of times. He used to go to the Clarence DeMar Marathon in Keene a lot. So you'd see him there.
Okay, so David, I want to, let's, because, I mean, it's the day after the marathon. What happens, like, walk me through when you go past that finish line, you know, what it feels like, and, I mean, like, what, did you just leave right away? Did you get in your car and just go, or what happens, like, after you cross that finish line?
Well, My son and daughter and daughter-in-law were at mile 26, so they kind of were on the sidewalk and ran alongside me, cheering me on. Oh. And when I finished, I got my medal and I got a blanket. I had two friends that worked at the marathon finish line, and they had Mylar blankets, but they also had some special ones that had hoods on them that they actually saved for me because they knew I was coming. I had my picture taken with my family and the two young ladies that were there. And then I turned around, and I really didn't feel like eating, so I kind of asked a couple of volunteers if they'd let me out the side, let me out early so I didn't have to go all the way through the chute, because I still had to walk over a mile back to my hotel.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Couldn't get yourself...
My kids escorted me back most of the way, and then they jumped on the team. My son works at Dartmouth, and he headed back home, and my daughter is in Needham. She headed back home.
Okay, so are you back home today right now? You're back home?
Oh, yeah. I just finished a big workout. I walked to the kitchen and got a glass of milk.
Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. So is it like just back to normal today? I mean, you must be achy or sore. You got to be.
Well, I've got some aches. It's not too bad. I've actually had worse. But today hasn't been bad. I've already gone out, went down to the post office and got the mail, went out and got the papers. And, I'm a little stiff, but not bad.
So no special treatment from the wife or anything?
Oh, every day is special with her.
Okay, well, that's nice.
So how long? She's on the radio, so I gotta say this.
Of course. So how long could you actually go before you would be ready to run another marathon? Or when is your next marathon?
I'm probably going to think this fall sometime. I'm actually a volunteer at the Gate City Marathon in May 17th in Nashua. So I'll be helping out there. I'm the volunteer coordinator, and I run all the water stuff. So I'll be working with them to put that marathon on, and then I'll probably do one in the fall sometime.
Yeah, I think I saw something also on your Facebook page or somewhere. Getting to 100, is that the bucket list number for you, or are you going to kind of play it by ear?
I'll play it by ear and see how it goes. Every finish is a win, and it's kind of like a number I would like to accomplish, but I'm not going to get hurt doing it, so... If I feel at any given point it's not a smart thing to do, I can stop.
Well, I was very anxious yesterday to be getting all of your updates on my phone. I was in the mall a couple of times, and I was watching the TV eagerly, seeing if I'd maybe catch a glimpse and looking for 28087 bib number. And I really, really enjoyed it. I really did. So,
it was very fun going along the course. All the different signs that the people had out, like, worst parade ever.
Now, did you get my email, Dave?
I did, yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
And I will get that in the email to you.
Sounds great.
All right, we're going to let you go.
So we can do one in the fall, right, Carol?
Well, I want that packet. I gotta look it over before
right.
I commit.
All right. We can do that.
All right, our time is up, Dave, and you got to keep your rest in case you have to actually take a trip to the bathroom. I know that takes a lot out of you. David,
I'll
tell us.
My wife helped me.
Well, I think that's where we need to end this interview. Congratulations
you,
on number 20 for Boston and number 90 overall, David Salvas of Nashua, of Amherst. Thank you, sir. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.